Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, October 31st, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 162, the second paragraph. Someday we hope that every alcoholic, through one paragraph ending, which any traveling man can inform you. Reading and commenting on this one paragraph only today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Yvonne A., 12 Traditions, Tanya. Readers of the text, Joan Marie M., Eileen M., and backup is Larry G. The reference number for Monday, October 30th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,787. That's 20787. And for this morning, Tuesday, October 31st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,789. That's 20789. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Lois P., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for your service for this whole month of October. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Yvonne A. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Yvonne A. from Vancouver, Canada. Number one, we admitted we were food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these character defects of character. Seven, humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A. I will now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Tanya P., recovered in Michigan. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Excuse me. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Tanya P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 162, that second paragraph. Someday, we hope that every alcoholic, through one paragraph ending, which any traveling man can inform you. And we're going to be reading and commenting on this one paragraph today. I will now ask Joan Marie M. to begin reading.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to share. Joan Marie, a recovered compulsive overeater from Nevada. Someday we hope that every alcoholic whose journey will find a fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous at his destination. To some extent, this is already true. Some of us are salesmen and go about. Little clusters of 2, 3, and 5 of us have sprung up in other communities through contact with two larger centers. Those of us who travel drop in as often as we can. This practice enables us to lend a hand and at the same time avoid certain alluring distractions of the road about which any traveling man can inform you. Okay, so what stood out to me is hope. And this program brought me back to the time when I first came into OA many years ago, and I was going on my first vacation as very new in the program, and all I could think of was, how can I get my food? How can I stay abstinent? There was so much fear and anxiety about it. That I never enjoyed where we were or the people I was with. It was just anxiety, fear. And now today, I can go anywhere and stay abstinent because I've been placed in a position of neutrality around food. And I found a situation to my problem. My problem was me. I didn't have coping skills. I didn't know how to handle emotion. So because of the need for relief, I would turn to food as my God. And I've always believed in God, but the personal relationship that I have today continues to grow by His grace and His mercy. I was just scared of living life because I didn't have those coping skills. I just would wake up in the morning before I even got out of bed, and I was consumed with fear. And if you asked me what I was afraid of, I couldn't tell you. It was life, because I didn't know how to handle life. And today, because of this program, because of God and my relationship with God, I have a solution to my problem, because my problem was me. It wasn't the food, it was me. I needed a personality change sufficient to bring about recovery. So God worked in the inside of me, because He's a power greater than myself. And me trying to handle life by myself, it couldn't work. And so this personality change was an inside job from the inside out. I was always looking on the outside, trying to maintain this wonderful, what I thought, weight. And I would diet and exercise and do all the things that was all about the outside. But today I know that my whole attitude and outlook on life has changed, because I realize that God is doing for me what I could never do for myself. It's a spiritual program, and I guess my time is up. And you know what? I have not been very comfortable about being the first reader. So I do things today that I may be uncomfortable with, but I do it because of my recovery and helping others. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Joan Marie M. What a lovely way to get us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us today?
Amy G. in Washington.
Amy G. Press star
Eileen
one.
M.
Eileen M.
Deanne F. in New York.
Deanne S.
Danielle W.
Danielle W. Okay, let's go ahead and... Oh, go ahead.
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Who in Missouri?
Karen KZ.
Okay, Karen KZ. And who is that
Donna,
voice before?
Cheryl L. in Florida.
Cheryl L. in Florida. And who is the other person?
Donna A. in Nevada.
Donna, what was your initial?
J.
Perfect. In Nevada. Thank you so much. Okay, let's go ahead with that lineup. I have Amy G., Eileen M., Deanne S., Danielle W., Cheryl L., Karen KZ, and Donna J. Amy G., please get us started.
Thank you. This is Amy G. in Washington. I'm not a salesman, but I'm a grandmother, so I travel often to go see my 15-month-old grandson in about 2,000 miles away from where I live. So I took a plane, and I always used to love airport food. I would stop and get things so that when I waited for the plane, I could sit there and eat whatever I wanted. And that didn't happen this time, because being recovered means it just wasn't on my mind. I did stop and get a bottle of water, and that was just fine. And then I spent time with my son and daughter-in-law and the baby, and they don't eat what I eat, but I had brought the food that I needed, and my daughter-in-law was fine with that. Why shouldn't she be? And it was just lovely. And then Saturday morning, there was a meeting that I usually attend on Zoom, and it's a meeting that was my home meeting in person when I lived in that area 8 years ago before I moved to Washington. And it was such a wonderful time to be with recovered fellows and to be with people who I knew. And I don't have to know everybody on a Zoom meeting. I certainly don't know people who come from all different countries, but I get to know them if they come to the meetings I go to, which I think is just such a wonderful gift of the modern age. And so I am grateful to not have to worry about, what does it say, the alluring distractions of the road, because I have God and I have my fellowship and I have the program with me wherever I go. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Amy G. from Washington. Eileen M., please share with us, followed by Dion S.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. And, this brings to mind a trip that I took to Florida many years ago. I was in program, and this is before I had recovered. It was when I was in, just going to face-to-face OA here in New Hampshire, and I went on this trip, and this was, back in the day where we didn't have Zoom meetings or phone meetings, and, what was recommended was to call the World Service Office and ask for a list by mail of meetings, in that state that you were traveling to, and, I got a list in the mail, and there was contact people on it, and I called one of the contact numbers, the contact, person, and talked with her, and this is a complete stranger, never talked to her before, and she actually offered to pick me up at my hotel and bring me to a meeting. I mean, I just could not believe it. That was just so remarkable. And she told me where these grocery stores were and how to get to them, because I just had a rental car, and it was just so amazing that someone cared about me that didn't even know me. And just to find people, it turned out there was a meeting in a church that was right next to the hotel I was in. And I mean, how cool is that? And it's just, today I'm not afraid to travel because, I have a higher power. And, the definition of neutrality is safe and protected. And, as long as I keep doing the work of the program, I'm going to be safe and protected. And, I know exactly what to do now when I travel. And, I'm just so grateful for that. I mean, that the program is so mobile now. It's even easier than ever. You can just travel somewhere, and as long as you have a computer connection, internet connection, you can just hop on a Zoom meeting, a phone meeting, and it's just incredible to me. And, it's just so amazing. So, anyway, I just wanted to share that. So thank you so much. I pass.
Oh, thank you, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Dion S., please share with us, followed by Danielle W.
Hey, good morning. This is Deanne S. from New York, and I am just grateful and a member, a recovered, just for today, member of this fellowship. And the fellowship, of Alcoholics Anonymous. This paragraph is just, it's so moving. It's so beautiful because they're saying, someday we hope that every alcoholic who journeys will find a fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous at his destination. Like, they were so hopeful. And they just allowed themselves, to hope. And, now it seems, like that was a million years ago, but it wasn't. It was less than 100 years ago that someday is today. That what they imagined is real. I just got back from a trip to Europe that was for 2 weeks with my daughter and my sister, and we traveled all around Italy, and then we went to Paris. And those are places that are, you know, very much associated with food. And I lived in Italy many years ago, and, you know, my disease was rampant then. However, there were meetings in the town that I lived in, and I did attend them. And so, you know, they were there for me then. I wasn't yet ready, but, you know, to be able to travel now and to be mindful and heartful of what this sentence says, which is the practice, this practice enables us to lend a hand. I was able to go on a Zoom meeting while I was there every morning that I was able to, and to be available to lend a hand to people in different time zones. And to be able to be there for my sponsees, even with 6 hours of difference between us. You know, this is what it is to be a recovered member of this fellowship, is that I get to lend my hand and my heart to others who suffer from my compulsion. And for that, I am truly grateful. I pass.
Thank you so much, Deanne S. from New York. Danielle W., please share with us, followed by Cheryl L. from Florida.
Hi, good morning. So happy to be here. I'm Danielle W. from Southern California. Recovered but not cured. So I've lived kind of a different life, I think, than most people, in that as a filmmaker, I would have to live in other parts of the country, sometimes out of the country, for 3 to 7 months a year. And the way that it normally worked is I would get a call, I would get hired, and within a week I had to relocate. And I realized recently, I went back and kind of looked over the last 33 years. In 33 years, I've lived in 23 different places. And I can tell you it was crazy before program. I would arrive in a new town, I would be expected to hit the ground running, I would have to set up a home, and I would use food to calm the stress that that caused. And I would use food to try to fuel energy that I was lacking. And I would impose on other people the responsibility of keeping me, well, they couldn't because I was unmanageable. But, you know, I would go to the caterer, I would go to craft service, and I would say, no matter what I ask for, just give me, you know, protein and vegetables. And they would say, okay. And then, of course, you know, I would go back a day later and beg for cake. And, you know, it was so, so disrespectful to other people. And, you know, my crazy was just on display. And when I got into this program, and I'll wrap it up quickly, I just didn't think that I was ever going to be able to live the life that I have to as a result of the work I do, and still be able to stay sober. I just did not see that as a possibility. And because of the way this program works, because it's so accessible anywhere, because I can get on a phone call Monday through Friday, because I can continue to work with my sponsees and be of service, I miraculously am able to stay in a place of neutrality. No matter where I go, no matter where I have to live, no matter how quickly I have to set up my own home, no matter what amazing food is on display in front of me day after day, it is an absolute miracle. And, you know, I just have to suit up, show up, and continue to lean into this program. And that gift is available to me. And I just can't tell you how miraculous that is. And that I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Danielle W. Cheryl L., please share with us, followed by Karen KZ.
Good morning. My name is Cheryl L., formerly from New Hampshire, now living in Canada. Grateful to be on the line this morning. I'm sharing this morning because I've been away from meetings for approximately 3 months. And yesterday it kind of hit me in the face. I did not binge. I did not, you know, break my abstinence. However, I was very close to it. I'm in a position of vulnerability right now. I've moved 1,500 miles away from home. I made a conscious decision to get out to physical meetings for my other program while I was here, and I've done that, and I've connected with that, and I thought it was enough, but it isn't, and I need you folks. I need this program to keep me on the path. It's so ironic that we're reading this passage this morning, because I looked for in-person meetings here, and there really aren't any. And you know what I failed to recognize is that, you know, there's so much that is available to me by calling into this meeting, by connecting with fellows in the Vision, you know, program, and making those outreach calls and being willing to sponsor. So I'm putting my name out there today, Cheryl L., New Hampshire. I'll have to update my information soon, but I would welcome any outreach calls today. I am homesick, and I know that my vulnerability is definitely an aspect, you know, of my condition today. I know I can get back on track, and I really appreciate your listening. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Cheryl L. from Florida. Karen KZ, please share with us, followed by Donna J. from Nevada. And before Karen shares, just want to remind people we are on page 162, talking about that second paragraph, starting with, someday we hope that every alcoholic, through that one paragraph ending, which any traveling man can inform you. And after Karen and Donna are done sharing, I'll take some more names. So Karen KZ, please share with us.
Hi, this is Karen Casey in Missouri, and this is really hard for me to share today because I'm really needing help. And I know, and I actually think that God is at work, that we're reading this paragraph about traveling, because, and I also love the lead share about how I'm so fearful about my food and what I'm going to do there and what they think and how am I going to get it and what am I going to do. And then I beat myself up because I know that I can trust God and that I will have what I need. But in the meantime, I know I have to reach out to as many fellows as I can and ask them if they can give me what they do, that share their experience, strength, and hope about their traveling. Because I'm not leaving till December 12th, so I have time, but I'm worrying about it every day. And again, I feel like I'm not working the program well in the sense that I know that I'm powerless over these emotions and this fear that I have and that my life is unmanageable. There is a power greater than me that can restore me to sanity, and I do keep turning this fear over, and I do keep asking for help. But it's not coming fast enough. It's not according to my script. And I did reach out on the app that I'm on the other day, but I realized on the apps that somebody's not looking at the app at that moment, they don't see that I need help. So I'm just going to keep asking for more ideas. I did get some really good ideas. The woman actually chatted and wrote it all down, so I have it. But anyway, I just feel lost, and so I'm just sharing that today, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen Casey from Missouri. Donna J., please share with us.
Hi, this is Donna. Oh.
Sure,
I was
ahead.
Unmuting when you said my name. So is it right to go down?
Yep.
Okay,
absolutely.
Great. Okay, yeah. I'm struggling too because I got back into this program, and I remember a long time ago in another program, I went on a long car trip with a friend. It had several segments, and I did every segment perfectly. I did have phone bridge meetings, so I was able to use that daily, but I got through all kinds of stuff, and then on the way home, I ate. And that is something that happens with me. So that's what I recall with the traveling. But anyway, so I'm working hard now, but I can see that the disease has come back and gotten a hold of me through slips, and working on what am I afraid of, really. And I'm just afraid of life when I'm abstinent. I can't handle who I am when I'm abstinent. and that is so contrary to everything that happens when we're abstinent, and contrary to the way I feel, or I felt, you know, up until a slip. But then that slip happens, and it's not just for that moment or that day. It's so much more pervasive than that. And but anyway, I definitely am, I guess I'm raw with emotions when I'm abstinent, and then something happens that I can't handle, just life. And I, that's the bottom line right now. I just don't like who I am when I'm abstinent, because I seem to be intolerant of anything that with, and if there's just something wrong, I'm intolerant of it. And then I'm throwing away everything. I haven't learned to become tolerant yet. Anyway, thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Donna J. from Nevada, and thank you to everyone on the line for your honest, beautiful shares. I'm now going to be taking the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. We are on page 162, the second paragraph, Someday We Hope That Every Alcoholic. And okay, just one second, Kristen. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us besides, was that Kristen, the first one?
Yeah, Chris.
Oh, Chris? Very good. And your initial?
S.
S?
S is in Sam.
Perfect. Chris S. Very good. Who else would like to share? Chris Star.
Robin L.
Robin P.
Okay, I heard Robin P. and I didn't hear the others. Who Barbara W. Barbara W. And who else's voice was in that lineup?
Michelle S.
Michelle S. Or Michelle F. And one more name.
Deb E.
And was there another share just in case? Another one?
Fran R.
And
yes.
Fran R. Very good. Okay, so we're going to stop there. And everyone else who mentioned their name, please come back tomorrow. We would love to hear from you. So Chris S., please share with us, followed by Robin P. Then we have Barbara W., Michelle F., Deb E., and Fran R. Chris S., please go ahead and share with us.
Yes, good morning. It's wonderful to be here with you. What an amazing paragraph. I just traveled to a convention to Missouri, and, you know, I was so blessed on that trip. I prepared the foods, you know, snack foods that were absent for me, and morning breakfast that I could take with me in my suitcase or my bag, whatever. But I was blessed because my roommate, who I roomed with, happened to be an AA. And so we both knew the big book, and how grateful I was for that. Also, in meals, I asked for what I needed, and I didn't worry about what other people thought, because I was also traveling with somebody who's not in program, but has more food allergies than I have, and asking for what she needs. So, you know, it's like get out of thinking about me and thinking about how I can do service. Someone also mentioned something about being abstinent. And when I'm abstinent, I feel things more. I feel happiness more. I feel sadness more. There's just more there going on. And, you know, so how do I keep out of the food to not medicate that thinking? Because if I'm eating, I don't have to think about all that stuff. And what it is that for me, working with my sponsor, listening on the phone here, doing the podcast, it's retraining my brain. I don't have to stay in the thoughts that cause me or want me to eat, so I don't think about them. I'm retraining my brain. And the beauty and miracle of meditation is that we're breathing, and that's the most important thing we do. So when I find my brain going to think about something that I really shouldn't be thinking about is like, you know, go back to mindfulness. What can I do to step out of this thought pattern? And that's calling people. Those outreach calls are so important. I want to thank everybody here who have taken my outreach calls. But also concentrate on the breath and just breathing, and I'm alive. Page 133 says, God wants me to be happy, joyous, and free. And so I am doing everything that I can to be in that frame of mind and not, as it further says, invite misery into my life. God wants me to be happy, joyous, and free. And guess what? That God loves me no matter what, and that God loves you no matter what. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris S. And what state were you from, Chris?
Hi. Did you say Robin P?
Yeah, Robin P, you're next. And we'll, I didn't get Chris S.'s state, but Robin P, go ahead and share with us.
Oh, thank you. Hi, thanks, Dawn. I'm Robin P, and I'm a really grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and we are currently in Chattanooga, and I am the poster child for traveling in this program, I think. We live in Costa Rica for half the year, and last year we traveled for 3 months, 27 cities and 8 countries throughout Europe, abstinently, thank you, God. I've been abstinent by God's grace almost 8 years, and then this year we are traveling for 5 months throughout the U.S., going to a different town every so, and we are looking to see if we would like to live here for half the year, so... It is, and we've been going to concerts and conferences and things that are important to me. And it just is, God always takes care of me. And as long as I participate in my own recovery, so I'm so grateful for Vision, and I'm so grateful for sponsoring and for my sponsor and for, you know, my God squad. And I'm so, so grateful for the power of prayer. And every time we get to a town, the first thing I do is we go to, I won't say the brand name, we go to a grocery store where I get, I'm an organic gluten-free vegan, and I can get organic gluten-free vegan food anywhere we go, anywhere. And we go to the store, we get what we need, and I always make a big pot of organic rice and beans in my Instant Pot. And we have that for a couple of days along with other things. And I just know that I put my abstinence first and I take care of myself. It's my medicine instead of my poison. And I'm so eternally grateful because I know I can go anywhere on the planet and eat abstinently. And God always takes care of me as long as I participate in my own recovery. And I always, you know, it's been such a blessing going through the U.S. because we've gotten to meet so many people from the program, and I've gotten to meet so many people from Vision, and, you know, we've gone out for coffee, we've gone to the beach together, you know, we've gone hiking together, like all kinds of life things. It's so great to meet people in person after all these years, and God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinence day. I'm so grateful for this program of recovery. Amen.
Thank you so much, Robin P. With us, followed by Michelle F.
Good morning. Barbara W. here from Washington State. The one thing that came up with reading this chapter, I was blessed to be able to go to a earlier meeting as well, is number one is that historical note of that paragraph. You know, some of us, you know, in twos and threes and whatever tens come together. And that's exactly how this program came about. It wasn't all of a sudden appeared on the scape of places you could go. It evolved. And I can't help. What got to me was the strength that built in the fellowship from its very foundation. And I'm traveling is not up for me right now, but I have memories of traveling. One of them was many years ago. My daughter was blessed to be working in New York briefly, and I said, what an opportunity for me to share, to join her and travel. And I still remember going to a meeting in the north end of New York City, and finding, this was literally right after 9/11, and I remember finding that meeting just so comforting. I saw warm faces, smiling faces, and I was welcomed. It didn't matter I was a total stranger from Washington. It mattered that I was there, and I was sitting in a seat, and I was part of that fellowship. And I don't think there's any place on earth that's quite like it. And I was trying to think of something else that I traveled. And I have taken some trips back to see family, but that was many years ago. But I remember, I remember a conference where I had asked, I said I was vegan, and it's interesting, what came off from my lunch was this, actually I was looked on with envy, it was this big plate full of vegetables, I mean fresh cooked vegetables, and I thought I was in heaven. So what if there wasn't exactly a protein? I wasn't going to starve between lunch and dinner.
Time.
But I still remember the gifts that this program, you know, I could have an illness where I had to eat vegetables, but it didn't matter to them. My request was honored, and it was just amazing. The welcome that you feel when someone looks at you and takes down a note and says, this woman needs vegetarian food, and the gift, the gifts I've been given over the years and the memories I have of this strength of this fellowship have been just amazing.
Time.
With that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Barbara W. from Washington. Michelle F., please share with us, followed by Deb E. And if you could take like a 2.5-minute shares, that would be great.
Okay, thank you for your service. It's Michelle F. as in Foxtrot from Central Massachusetts. I will just share that I have traveled overseas to London, to Paris, and been able to be abstinent. I packed my scale, and I was terrified to leave my hotel room by myself in London, but I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and my higher powers got me to an OA meeting in London, and I was so eternally grateful. And it's just a delight, you know. It's something to look forward to. You get to meet new people. You get to share your experience, strength, and hope. And it's so reassuring because you all have the same common problem, the same common solution. And I just strongly recommend, if you're traveling, put in the extra effort and see if you can go to a meeting. And there's always Zoom, and there's always telephone. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michelle F. Sure appreciate you sharing. And Deb E., please share with us. Please take a 2-minute share.
Thank you. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. I like this theme of travel because this is, like, program is something I take with me everywhere, like every day in my travels, just, you know, throughout my regular life. And then when I actually change destinations, and I've lived in several different places throughout my time in OA so far, all were very much guided, like all those moves were very like intuition inspired and guided by my higher power. And it's, you know, it's not something I get to take a break from or a vacation from. It might look different when I'm traveling, right? Like I'm not going to have the same meetings when it, you know, when I was only going to face-to-face meetings, I obviously couldn't have those, but I have gone to meetings in different cities. And this is the first move I made where I actually, part of the decision to where I was going to move wasn't based on OA meetings being available, because I, you know, at that point I had this meeting by telephone and I had a bunch of Zoom meetings. But that was always something that was part of the criteria when, you know, a move was coming up. I needed to make sure, one of the things I needed was to make sure I had OA there. And it's just, it's so nice to see how, you know, this was their dream, this hope that we would be able to find program everywhere. And everywhere I've been, there's been program. You know, it might not be, the meetings might not be as frequent, or they might not be the same, but the feeling is always the same and the base is always the same. And I'm really grateful to have such an extensive network available to me. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Deb E. from Israel. Fran R., please share with us.
Good morning. Fran R. from California. I can remember many years ago in the early OA program for me, there weren't Zoom meetings. There weren't a lot of the things that we have today. And we really didn't study the big book. We didn't buy the big book. We didn't study it. But I can recall I was a traveling salesperson. Not all the time, but I traveled once a month. And I can recall in the beginning, I told my business associates that I was on a program, but I didn't explain what. And they were all very, oh, okay, whatever. And no one paid attention to what I was ordering, what I was eating. And I was able to stay abstinent. And what I did when I was traveling, I made phone calls, because I didn't have an opportunity to go to meetings at that point. And then I can remember visiting family. I'm in Northern California or Central California, and I can remember visiting family in Southern California. And I took food with me. And my sisters all knew I was on a program. I called it weight loss. And today I don't call it that. And I took food with me. I had a pretty little basket, open basket. I showed up with my things, put stuff in the fridge, wherever. And those were great times. And there's always someone, and I too made outreach calls by the phone. I want to share one thing. I have tinnitus, which is ringing in the ears. It can drive you insane because it's always there. It never leaves. It's kind of like if we allow our obsession to be there and think about it and let it bother us. And I went to a specialist, and he told me exactly that.
Time.
This will never go away. However, if you concentrate on it, think about it, let it bug you, it'll bug you. It doesn't even bother me today, and it's like my sugar addiction. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Fran R. from California. Now we're going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Please stick around till the very end of the meeting, where we allow newcomers a chance to announce their names and numbers. Will Eileen M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.